Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
Star Trek Podcast.
I think it's pretty safe to assume that everyone, no matter what calm veneer they present, it's kind of a mess.
I've just never seen her flinch. You know, she's always really got it together.
Ask her how she was after we flew out of a wormhole and crashed. No one's always okay, kid. It takes a hell of a lot of strength to admit when you're not. Which, I guess, makes Detmer, in fact, the shit. If you admire her so much, why don't you get to know her? Have you ever had a conversation?
Not, like, just us in the same... I wouldn't really know how to start that.
Pro tip. Don't start with, I want to be you. It's kind of creepy. You'll figure it out.
Snoopity doobity snoop, snoopity doobity doop, snoopity doobity doop, a doopy doop.
All right, Dan,
doobie
I'm
doop, doop, a doopy doop.
Yeah, I'm going to take that as an indicator that you are raring to go.
Raring.
I'm born ready.
Ready for Star Trek.
You're ready to discuss some Star Trek tonight.
Discuss Discovery.
Let's discuss okay. some Star Trek tonight. Oh, yeah. Let's discuss some Star Trek tonight. Yeah.
We're not going to sing it, though.
I'm
we're
trying to discuss. Okay, look. Everybody.
No one's stopping you.
Hey. Everybody.
Hey, no one's stopping you.
So here's the situation. The situation is that Paramount Plus...
Those motherfuckers.
In all their wisdom, they decided to put out two episodes of Star Trek at once.
And not just, like, in the same week, in the same
on
fucking
the same
night.
Day.
Yeah.
And it's going to be, like, 3 weeks of this. And we're like... But our podcast is designed to discuss... An episode of Star Trek... Per episode, but anyway, this is what we've set up. This is what the expectation is from our audience. This is meant to be an evergreen podcast that people can be listening.
No weeping willows here.
Future and listen to it. But anyway, this is fouling everything up. But the obvious solution is we have to do two separate podcast episodes. This episode of the It's Got Star Trek podcast. This episode, which is episode 118 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast. We'll be discussing Star Trek Discovery's Rosetta, season 4, episode 11. Now,
little green Rosetta.
Now, we gotta barrel through this, right? Because we only have so much time.
Yeah,
we have a compressed amount of time because we gotta squeeze in two episodes today. So we have to dispense with a couple of the normal. We have to dispense with the introductory whitty banner.
The normal frivolity. The frivolities.
Frivolity. Frivolity.
Frivolities.
Frivolity. Frivolity.
Too late.
Frivolonium.
Too late.
If you somebody who is frivolous may be engaging in frivolity.
Frivolity.
Although there are sort Baloney. Of nuanced subjective
That's
differences. Anyway, you're tricking me. You're tricking me into witty banter. Not cool.
Tricking you. Not,
not cool.
Cool.
We don't have time. We do not
you're
have
insidious.
Time.
You tricked yourself.
We do not have time for witty banter. We have to toss all the scripted comedy bits that we usually do. Just got to toss them right out the window.
Oh, right.
We can save those for another time.
Those
heavily,
are good, though.
Heavily scripted comedy bits. What else? We've got, we can't, the Dan and Patrick, the segment where Dan and Patrick, Dan over there and Patrick over here, when we argue over
where's Dan over
a semantic point,
mm-hmm.
We don't have time for that.
That's
today.
Right out.
So that segment, we got to toss that out because we just want to give you the audience as much pure injection.
Can we sack someone? Right out. That was from the Monty Python's Holy Grail. They're talking about wasn't that the Holy Hand Grenade? They're talking about something like
yes.
Oh, the instructions.
Yeah. Something was like, yes. That's right out. Right. And then they were talking about like someone being sacked and maybe that was another Monty Python movie.
Just This is veering. this is veering into witty banter.
Exactly what we're talking about.
We don't have time for this.
Lucky
today.
For us, we're not clever enough for it to be witty banter.
We are talking about Star Trek Discovery, Season 4, Episode 11, Rosetta. Do you know why this episode was named Rosetta? Can you guess why it might have been?
I mean, they explained why in the episode.
Okay, yeah, okay. Well, we get, I'm
sorry. About the Rosetta Stone and the two languages and the find the third language. And
no, right.
Exactly.
I saw the Rosetta Stone.
You know, if you have an equation with equation, if you have equation,
they got one equation
with one variable, you only need one equation to solve it. But if you have equation, like,
hold on, it's forming in my head, equation, book, ebook,
an equation,
like an ebook.
Yeah,
do
yeah.
kids still call it an ebook, or do they just default to Kindle?
Nobody knows what a book is.
Ebook is the generic term.
So I was going to say, if you have a equation with two variables, you need two equations to solve that variable. And in Rosetta, for some reason, you need two languages to solve one. But if it was an equation, you only need one.
It depends on your definition of solve. Yeah, and I'm not going to push it, because that is a semantic point, and we need not discuss.
That guy was just being cantankerous.
That particular semantic point. All right. Okay.
Harmlessly cantankerous.
Who is being harmless and contagious?
That guy, it was some like old Federation crusty dude, and he was all like, who's the guy doctor? That was like, don't screw it up?
Oh, Dr. Harai?
And then it was like, okay, well, that's fine he said that, but then like President whatever the fuck was like, you shouldn't have said that way.
Dr. Harai, remember how last episode I noted that he was always snacking? Yeah. And in this episode, he's snacking until he gets chastised by President Relax.
Whoa. He's doing a crossword.
Then he gets, then he's not eating after that. It made me sad. When he's doing the crossword, he's nibbling away, snacking away.
It's like in the Big Lebowski when Steve Buscemi keeps blowing strikes.
Yes. Yes. No.
The answer is yes.
I see what you mean by the by the comparison.
Watch the movie.
Yes, I see what you mean by the comparison.
Everybody's already
watched the movie.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have on the IMDb, by the way, they once again for the second week in a row don't. They have last week's up on IMDb, but because last week they didn't have last week's up last Friday, but this.
It's a ridiculous publication.
But now, but now IMDb. Now IMDb for this week doesn't have it again, like for the newest episode. So is that representative of interest in Star Trek Discovery, or is IMDb just smoking crack?
You just mean they lack sufficient information on the IMDb? Is that what you're saying?
There's three names listed. There's Sinequa Martin Green. Then the other two.
You can't even remember.
And those other two people. Those other two guys. Nah, oh, my God.
IMDb is always, they're not great for anything. In my experience.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying that, no, it's not. But it's like they were keeping up.
And Paramount Plus doesn't have that cool Amazon, the feature that Amazon Prime has where they will, if you look in the app at any point while you're watching.
Oh, that is pretty cool.
It shows you the characters, and it's always like adding people and subtracting actors as the scenes
go on. I have better luck
on.
With Wikipedia than IMDb.
Well, I'm just...
Memory Alpha is great for Star Trek.
Oh, yeah.
Look, my only point is, relatively speaking, I'm just saying it's changed. I'm not saying IMDb...
Relativity.
Like, whether they have it or not, is irrelevant. What is relative to what we're talking about is the fact that they had them in before and now suddenly they stopped. So someone's losing interest in updating the IMDb page.
Maybe somebody was doing it
somebody's
and then they were
losing interest.
Then they were captured because it turned out they were a serial killer.
Oh no. And Anthony Rapp and Doug Jones. Those are the other two.
Sorry, it was funny to me that it was those two particular people. Anyway.
No, Sinequa Martin Green. I'm sorry.
But in addition, as opposed to some of the other folks. Anyway, okay. Yeah.
Now we're doing this.
They didn't have Sean Doyle. Come on.
Come on.
Come on. Sean Doyle. I think he's Canadian.
He does a lot
of Canadian shows. Okay.
Podcast.
This is a podcast.
You wish.
Podcast. Tighten it up.
So they have 29 hours. Speaking of tightening it up, they got to tighten up their time usage. Now
it's a little bit tight. I don't know. It's almost too dramatic. Yeah. Making me fucking nervous. Well, 29 hours.
They also kind of played it up because she was like, well, we have to go to the planet to get cultural context. But like, if we don't get anything, all will be lost. We will have wasted so much time. When they came back, there was 25 hours left, which means they were only down there for 4 hours.
It
so,
didn't look like it took that long. Yeah.
So like, why did
I don't think
they,
there was much down there.
Well, no, but like, why did they act like, oh, we got to find something or else all is lost? Like, I can't, they acted like they couldn't risk
That's
a second.
That's their deal, you know.
They asked like they couldn't risk a second, and they could have risked 4 hours to make a slight risk. It wasn't that, I'm saying it wasn't as big of a risk as she was making it out to be.
They could have maybe.
She's a little dramatic sometimes.
It provided a little bit
it
more
helps
heft,
in the mission.
Heft to that story. So for my part, overall, I really enjoyed this. I thought there's another great episode in a lot of ways. The sci-fi stuff was cool.
Yeah.
We'll get into that a little bit. The movement forward of the plot line, a lot of character development here. I think maybe get it out of the way because it was the one thing that confused and rubbed me a little bit raw was the book stuff.
Real raw.
So Book and Tarka's motivations are... I guess we technically know them, but they're not as well founded.
Tarka's starting to grate on me a little bit.
Tarka, at least, at the very least, Tarka is saying, all right, I want to get, you know, I still want to get the power source, right? Disable the power source because I want to. It's weird because actually he wants to use the power source, so presumably he wants to disable it in order to acquire it and then use
it. So he can go to another universe.
It. But maybe.
I want to go to another universe.
Let's go to another universe.
Maybe he could just use it while it's operating, right? So that's I don't know, whatever. It's like, okay, I get that. The book thing is a little more confusing because I take it that we're meant to understand that Book has this compulsion about not letting another planet get fucked up by the DMA. I just don't entirely buy it. Entirely buy that his solution to that compulsion would be to continue to go behind Michael's back after all the other stuff that happened and after what had already happened with the DMA when they last tried to fuck around with it. I don't totally buy into it. And by extension, I don't totally buy into the representative from Earth who is...
Ndoye?
I'm very sympathetic to her position. They've characterized her and Earth people in general as fairly aggressive and militant. Mm-hmm. So this all fits...
It's like Earth people nowadays.
Fits within the character. It's just, as you said, Dan, it's tricky to get fully motivated to believe that a few hours is going to make a difference when there is, in fact, I think I fully buy into Burnham's point, 100%, that, hey, wouldn't it be great to have some background information on these folks?
That was cool. And it was, I like how it paid off. Like, you know, I thought it paid off pretty good.
Potentially. Okay, now, here's the thing.
Now, it could just have been a cop-out to something more complex.
Well,
I don't know.
I'm not 100% sure that the bones, the dead bones of the creatures we see are necessarily 10C.
Right.
Quite probably they are. The crew of the Discovery thinks they are making that assumption.
You're talking about those giant bonosaurs, those that out in the desert?
They've crafted a story. They've crafted a story that works and will continue to work in that they've discovered, the big... creature bones.
They were like giant cartilage bones.
So the idea being that these creatures lived here in the clouds of a gas giant or something, right?
That's fucked up.
Some catastrophic event.
I want to talk about that gas giant for a second.
Yeah, we should get back to that. But the idea basically that something happened, and then as a result, they created this hyperfield complex order to protect themselves, and now are mining energy with the DMA.
With a hyper field, how would that compare to a hypo field?
I guess it's like the
opposite. It's more.
It's like a not field.
As opposed to less.
Maybe when you shoot someone, it's a hypo field because it's the opposite of a shield.
It's like a hypo spread.
That spray. Framing.
That's right, exactly.
That framing.
Star Trek.
That framing is fine and good and makes sense, and they can tell a good story with that. Mm-hmm. I am just also allowing for the possibility, based on just story structure and diversions and all that other stuff, that it could be that the people who made the DMA are also the people who fucked up the bone people, and maybe the bone people are just gone.
Yeah, makes you wonder, yeah.
Probably not. I don't know that they're going there. Well, I'm just, I wanted to lay it out there
When I said it paid off, I didn't mean it necessarily paid off in some kind of profound way or anything. It's just, I was like thinking like, well, what could they possibly come across that could help them and that would be worth... Okay, if it's going to take half the time like you said it was, what could be possibly worth that? Of course, it only took 4 hours. Definitely worth the 4 hours. Half the time, probably we'll see, like you said. But it there was some... They did provide you with something where you could look at it and say, yes, I can see how that would help in their communication if they're communicating with who they think they are. So in that way, I was wondering if it was just they're going to come down and there was some bullshit that happened, but they may have found a way of speaking their language. Now, is that a cool way to communicate, or is it just a cop out for something more complex, or if they're just like, oh, we'll feel our way through it? You know, I don't know if that's going to sound be lame, but at least
I haven't looked. I have no doubt that some of the trolls are out in force like, Star Trek Discovery is all about feelings. This season's all about fucking feelings. It's like,
I don't want to address my own feelings because they make me scared.
I don't like feelings. They are so terrifying and
it's
horrifying.
It's been about feelings for like a few seasons. Now.
Yeah. The music was a little feeling heavy, I felt, in this episode. It was a little like you know what I mean, like
now this we have time for.
Yes,
feelings. All right, I don't even know where we're at.
What if that was a soundtrack to like a script reading where you just, instead of playing an instrument, you play the background, just went like, do 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 do. That would be so annoying.
I am into it. Annoying is in the eye of the, is in the ear of the beholder.
No, you see, we could make it sound cool.
By going, do 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 do.
Because we're musical.
Musical. But what if we didn't even use instruments? What if we just...
Exactamundo.
Yeah, what if...
Exactamundo. What if...
We're just going to go do-do-do-do.
Do-do-do.
I think it's primal, man. It's primal.
Star Trek, yeah.
Well, maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll read a script and see.
I think you should do that. Put it on the Patreon, which we don't have yet, but we will then have an excuse to have a Patreon. People can pay large amounts of money to hear you Babylon.
I think it's presumptuous to make people pay for something.
We could call it
like
Babylon
that.
5.
Hey, that's not...
Babylon.
That's fucking clever. That's clever.
See, every now and then I get clever. One that Dan is cool with.
But the thing with the Patreon is you have to give somebody something and make them used to getting it for free, and then you yank it from them, and so they no longer have it anymore. That's how you get people to pay for stuff.
Yeah, it can be bonus content. I think people are down for the bonus content.
I don't know if anyone would be willing to pay. Well, this is another discussion for another.
Well, I mean, if we set the price to something reasonable, $500 a month, something
okay.
like that.
Well, I mean, I thought you were going to go more for a couple
thousand.
Well,
we don't want any riffraff is the thing. You got to price it. You don't want riffraff accessing your content.
We want
that's
rich,
a good point.
Rich people.
Yeah.
No riffraff.
Yeah, riffraff, they get the free RSS feed, no problem. But you want to cultivate a high class level of user. You want somebody who will be able to. You want that person who will pay $500 to hear you going do 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 do.
That's our kind of people. Did you notice that? So that opening was it a soliloquy? A narration was? Would you call it a soliloquy or a monologue or a narration? I don't know.
In this case, a monologue. It's not a soliloquy.
Monologue.
I forget what the difference between a soliloquy and a monologue is.
Yeah, monologue is mono means one,
yes.
And log means poop.
Oh.
It's healthy.
Well, it says a monologue is
sarcastic.
It says it's a long speech delivered to other characters. A soliloquy is a long speech where a character talks to himself or herself or voices his or her thoughts. So it's more of a soliloquy.
Maybe it's a soliloquy, though.
But it's more of a captain's log.
Dude, you schooled me.
This is a captain's log, though, which means poop.
A captain's log, the audience could ostensibly be the captain themselves.
That's a
soliloquy. It's also for the record, for the history books, for all their leadership to read back home. So there's plenty of other people. It's also the audience. A whole bunch of people watching the audience.
It's for like congressional inquiries.
So
it's probably a soliloquy. I am not arguing this semantic point.
Okay, let's talk more then.
Because we said we weren't going to do
it. So,
not doing it. We do not have time for
this. My gosh.
There's no time, Dan.
So Burnham... Now you're just doing it on purpose. Burnham's given this, you know, captain's dramatic captain's log things, but this episode is real full of musts and has and have to's and a lot of things like that. Did you notice that?
There's conviction, man.
There was like, so they said must 5 times last episode. This time episode they said it
must as in you have to do it, as opposed to must as in musty.
Just, yeah, must. Not musty.
Not musty.
Not musty.
Not like going down into a root cellar.
No, so last
episode... Dusty old root cellar.
We understand. Last episode they said Last episode they said it 5 times. This episode they said it 15 times.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, this episode they said context 5 times. Now, here's something extra.
Context is for kings.
This is something super fascinating that you
must is not a word
you
for
will
princes.
Not see this coming. Last episode, they said the word have 48 times.
That's a lot.
How many times do you think they said it this episode?
48.
Yes!
Yeah, I guess I did
you
see it.
You
do coming.
See it. You're so smart.
I just made a deduction based off of your
my setup.
Particular enthusiasm. And yeah. Setup, yeah.
I have a bunch of lines.
Where do you come up with this stuff?
Like Burnham says, she goes like in the speech, she goes, maybe we'll have a chance of stopping this before it's too late. I have to be right. I have to. And then later she goes, I will find something down there. I promise. And then she goes, and every minute that we spend on that planet, the DMA is that much closer to killing billions. I have to make that time count. And then later she goes, I have to make this mission count. That's when Detmer's office offers to take Saru back. And she says, if they're all here to help, then why can't they take Saru back? You know what I mean? Like, but she's like, no, we have to. And then later she goes, it's stars surrounded by Dyson rings made of the same rare material as the DMA controller, and my gut tells me there has to be a connection. And then she goes, well, there has to be something down there to help us communicate with them. And then when Colbert goes, I mean, how do we connect with a species like that? She goes, we'll find a way. There was a lot of like, we have to do this shit.
Are you back on the monster?
That's what the Starfleet is, man.
You got a monster tonight,
yeah,
don't
it's
you?
Monster Rehab. Water.
Why is it called Rehab?
I don't know, man.
This is not.
What
this
flavor?
Is not a,
what flavor?
This is not
is
an
that?
Advertisement for Monster.
Does it taste like watermelon?
We are not paid as paid sponsors of the Monster.
Yeah. It's strawberry.
Oh, but
the
but
can is red.
It's watermelon.
Watermelon.
Which
I called
is weird.
That.
Yeah. But it's weird when Saru's freaking out and Detmer offers to take Saru back and she's like, I have to make this mission count, so don't take Saru back. And then she goes like, Detmer goes, we're all here to help. It's like, well, why couldn't they take Saru back when he was... I don't know. Why couldn't they take Saru back earlier when he was freaking out?
The speech that you're talking about when she's doing the captain's log thing really reminded me of a Captain Kirk-style log, like where he'd be like, we have to do this. It's going to happen. Blah, blah, blah.
She's pretty Kirky.
She is very Kirky.
Kirking out.
Captain Burnham.
It was an interesting scene because... First, they did that slow-mo shot of, like, Saru,
slow-mo.
Burnham, Detmer, and Colbert.
Slow-mo!
That shot they always do for, like, the astronauts going to the plane, the rocket ship. Or
to the plane?
The rocket ship.
You know, in the movies when
the
they
astronauts
have,
going to the plane
rocket
takes
ship,
them
take
to the rocket ship?
Yes, I made a mistake. We'll move on. You know when they do, like, they have the four people, they lined up walking towards camera going...
It's always four.
Doing super slow-mo. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
It's like a common thing. Yeah. It was almost funny because like...
It's funny.
They have to realize that that was just so ridiculous what they were doing there.
I presume they realize that, yeah. A little on the nose.
And then it was really a bizarre cut when Adira goes, fly good, like to Detmer.
That was cute.
Yeah, it was cute. But it was funny because it was in the middle of this fucking like serious captain's log. It was like the tone switched like really weirdly.
Which I have to assume was done on purpose.
Yeah.
Clearly done on purpose. The impact, somewhat variable.
It was a deep impact.
It depends on where you're coming from. I enjoyed it.
Where do you come from?
I could see why people might find it a little awkward.
I didn't think it was bad. I just thought it was just kind of... I didn't even notice until the second time. I was like, wait, that was a really weird place for her to say
to me,
that.
It works as partially as a joke.
Yeah.
They are all awkward around.
Yeah.
Combined with the slow-mo walking is like...
Slow-mo walking. Okay. So let's take a quick break, and then when we come back,
we don't have time
for none of this. So we gotta keep moving through. So we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we will continue our discussion of Star Trek Discovery's Rosetta.
Sco.
Be right back. We're back.
Did you say Rosetta Scone? You said Rosetta.
That sounds
scone.
Delicious.
It does. Was it like rose water?
Rose? Yeah.
Rose water.
That's
rose
making me hungry.
Water.
A little trinkle of
rose water.
Maybe
in
some,
your face.
Some orange.
Rose water.
The eternal debate. Do you put the cream on first, the clotted cream, and then the jam? Or, you know, or do you put the jam first?
Which one did you say was good?
I think I would do the cream first and jam on top. I want to see the
It's thing. More stable that way.
See, we don't have time for this, guys.
Oh, you're right. Sorry. So, no witty banter.
I thought there was a couple moments where they were pointing out to the audience, they were addressing something directly, like audience questions. Like, for example, when both Saru and Burnham were getting on the away mission ship, mm-hmm. and then Rilek is like, hey, you don't need your captain and
it's
your
called
first
the shuttlecraft.
Dude. Shuttlecraft, right. The was it the Disco 09?
Yeah.
Called the Disco 09. But Rilek,
Disco number 5.
79.
But Rilek points out to the audience, it's like, or the audience is like, that's the eternal question. It's like, not only you don't need the captain, but you're going to have your captain and your first officer mm-hmm. on an away mission. So
that's been like almost every away mission in the history of Star Trek.
I know. And so it's funny that they pointed it out finally. You know what I'm saying?
No, well, yeah, they've totally. Pointed it out before. In fact, they made a big deal about it in TNG where Riker's whole thing was he was the one who was going to go on the away mission.
And the chief medical officer and, somebody who's really good at flying.
Okay, well, they did it again. And it was appreciated that they...
I also appreciated that
maybe they shouldn't take Saru on away missions.
He keeps freaking out.
Well, him freaking out helped.
Yeah, but him and what's funny is at the end, Detmer all apologized for losing her shit.
Yeah, it's like that was weird. Come on,
it's like so what?
She didn't really lose her shit.
Yeah, like
she's pretty solid.
Like yeah, Saru is the one who was like losing his fucking shit.
I know everybody else was dealing with it.
And she was like, I'm sorry, I was. You know the thing is. When you say stuff like that to your boss, that you're like, you know, you're going through some emotional problems.
Hey boss, I'm sorry that it was the first time I ever felt peace and love, parental love, the emotion. I'm sorry that that freaked me out a little bit.
Yeah, the appropriate response from the boss is to like say like keep your personal life at home, blah blah blah, which is bullshit. But that's how we treat it now.
I'm gonna dock you 5 minutes pay.
Yeah, right. But everyone knows Saru's deal, so they shouldn't have freaked out. Well, nobody freaked out. Detmer freaked out.
Saru has weird stuff because he's like the first of his people to like not
freak out,
be culled or whatever, yeah. and get all weird and like
maybe not the first, but the first to like really last.
Yeah,
because the other ones, I think they would chase him down and like capture them or something.
There was another part where I wanted to point out where
I just wanted to briefly, because I've been trying to say this for a couple minutes now.
Briefly.
I just want to say Burnham's argument for why Saru should come was sensible. I liked that there was a discussion. Mm-hmm. I liked that her viewpoint was a sensible position, and it convinced President Rilek.
It was ostensibly sensible.
Take that, President Rilek.
There was another question that the audience could have asked that was kind of answered. How... Book was talking to Ndoye, and Book kept saying, like, yeah, you know, Burnham, she's going to do all this great shit. She'll solve it. Don't worry about that. That's what. So after she solves it, blah, 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 we're just going to sneak on in. And then Ndoye goes, if you believe so firmly in Captain Burnham's abilities, why not simply trust that first contact will succeed? And I thought that was a good thing to point out, because mm-hmm. it is, because I was thinking that exact same thing. I was thinking, like,
then Book was all like, man,
he's like, I trust her, not them. And I was like,
exactly.
Fair enough. And I'm just happy they addressed it.
Yes.
A lot of times they'll just skip over stuff like that.
Agree.
And I'll be like, he has all this faith in her. Why is he? And they
it
did
made
it. And
it was great.
Yeah. It was that little bit, and it made it make
good
sense.
Good point. Good counterpoint.
Yes.
That's excellent. When we see that in
answering
Star Trek,
the audience questions,
and not just the audience questions, just generically in terms of the story, even between the characters, it makes sense for this person to be asking the question and the response
Neo.
And it makes sense if that particular response would mollify that person.
Mollify
to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a word. I'm allowed to use that word.
Mollify.
Dan says you can't.
I didn't say shit.
All right. So next topic.
There was a Dyson ring.
Yes, there was. Yeah, even though we were referring to the hyperfield as sort of Dyson sphere-ish, there's actual Dyson rings.
Oh, I wanted to earlier when you brought up the gas giant, I wanted to mention that. So maybe I'm missing something. Now, they did explain that the gas giant got all fucked up and all the gas went away from the asteroids fucking it up, but I was always under the impression that gas giants just didn't have surfaces at all. Like, there's just denser and denser gas.
No, but they do often have a core, is my understanding.
Sometimes there's a rocky core.
It's almost a meaningless construct in the context of the entire environment of a gas giant.
So there is something down there.
Presumably, you know, when you're that size and the compression and all that other stuff, you can make all sorts of stuff happen. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm not real clear on that.
Nobody knows. Are you going to go into the middle?
I want to. I want to do that thing where you dig a hole through the middle of the earth
the
all the way
and just
void.
Bounce back and
just
forth.
Bounce back and forth, right? Yeah, until you're like floating in the middle of the earth. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Too bad it's not
because it's hollow inside. Eh?
That's how what holes are. Holes are hollow by definition.
That's where the mole people live.
I meant just as if you drilled a hole through
mole
the center.
People. Yeah.
Drill it straight through the center.
Oh my gosh, this episode has got me all amped up because we're like trying to rush through this, but at the same time we're getting...
No, it's because you're drinking a fucking Monster Rehab.
But we keep getting distracted, and so I'm all like amped up.
All right, so we can calm down, we can meditate.
Maybe I shouldn't drink the Monster Rehabs.
We can pull back.
We're just riffing, man. We'll
pull back.
No, it's good to riff.
We don't got to rush. We can get all our points out.
I just don't want to be annoying.
Okay, we can work on that as well. Oh. These are all things we can work on
You're
together.
You're not annoying.
You're not at all annoying.
Oh, that's a better. That's a better answer.
That is. Jesse gave the.
We're in a safe spot. We must have the comforting sand the on us.
Comforting dust.
Okay, it's a good call. Why don't we talk about some of the sci-fi elements here? We briefly touched on the giant creature bone stuff.
The Bonasaur.
Very cool. We do not regularly get to encounter huge Cthulhu-like creatures. Yeah.
I want to see more. I want to see more of that, but they probably won't show it.
Did they have a bunch of tentacles on the inside when they were in the sort of interior region with the nursery and the other stuff?
They were like mushroom stones.
I took it as they were floating jellyfish things.
Yeah, but they didn't.
Everyone saw what they different things.
And then that twisty thing that looked kind of like a big tree. A leaf thrown around.
That was
where they held the that's where like the gestating pods or whatever for the whatever you call it for those bonus or little bonus.
I think what we can agree on is very alien. It was presented as alien and in a way that was unusual for Star Trek.
My only problem though is that like they introduced these awesome giant like bone creatures, but they didn't really pay off. And I
it's a serialized show. We'll see what happens. If they are 10C, presumably we'll see.
I just want to see a giant, like, it's teasing me with this giant monster. I just want to see that giant monster.
I agree. Yeah. I would also like to see the giant monster.
Do you think they're like those things in the Picard, like, first season that all, like, come out of that hole and it's all, like,
I thought you were going to say TNG and Encounter at Farpoint. There's giant space jellyfish
That's right.
I don't think these are them.
In Mass Effect, there's these things called Thresher Maws, which are basically different. Like sandworm type things.
Sandworms.
There was like a space horror thing going on in this episode briefly with the dirt, the hallucinogenic dirt.
Yeah.
Well, like that's the next
adventures in spacesuits.
That's the next sci-fi element is the magic dirt, the emotion dirt.
Emotion dirt,
which to me was an awesome idea.
Yeah.
I don't know how wholly original it is. It seemed relatively so, or at least a really interesting twist on the concept.
It's good sci-fi.
They start with the concept of communication. They prime us in the previous episode to not assume verbal communication. And then here they set us up with this idea of emotional dirt.
Chemical communication.
Yeah, some sort of chemical communication that can convey thoughts and feelings.
Yeah, it was actually the doctor who laughed at Kovich. And he was like, "But you think they're going to speak through words, you know?"
Yeah.
Which that was a good point. He was just kind of
joke.
He was just kind of a dick about it.
Yeah.
But
snacking away, Dr. Harai.
Yeah, so the that spice was that meant we're meant to understand that spice was to keep intruders away at first. That was that because there were 16 compounds of there were 16 spice emotions.
Well, maybe it's some remnants of when they died and their drinks just spilled out because like outside they were fighting a battle or they were dying.
Oh, so like the way so
inside there was a safe spot.
So they scream emotions. So when they freak out and die, they're screaming all these emotions. Those
emotions
are in the form of this spice that makes
their brain melts.
It could be even more horrific than that.
I thought it was some kind of defense mechanism to keep bad people away or something, but that doesn't make sense.
But it could. Because
it would affect them. But it would affect them too, though. Unless it was just for.
Unless it was a post disaster situation where they did it as a warning. Yeah. But why would they have it in the nursery? In the nursery it was for the kids and it was just left over. There's a million different permutations of what it could be, and even if. That is a form of communication. How do you actually communicate things with it? I suppose that's what we're going to get into in either the next episode or the finale for the season. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But clearly we'll see it go one direction or another. I'm very interested in that. And that's one of the positive things about this episode is
positive.
Gets you thinking about, what's going to happen next? And
look,
and
absolutely positronic.
Generating all sorts of ideas. Because they don't over-explain it. They don't explain to us exactly what the purpose of the dust is or what, and why would we know that, right? So we'll see what the resolution is. 1024 by 768.
We're going to find out.
1024 by 7. That's a thing.
The resolution.
Okay.
I was saying we'll find out what the resolution
is.
Oh, right. That was a joke about that.
And it was kind of an old version of the joke because I don't think most people would have 1024 by 768.
No, everyone's like, those are even numbers?
Most people would be 1920 by 1080. Kind of your average Joe.
By the year 1080?
A lot of more people have the 4K, which is really the year 3000 doodad boobah.
Doodad boobah.
I remember back in the day when, you know, you'd have that 300 by 200, where you'd have your 640 by 480, good old stalwart, 640 by 480. I mean, it got the job done, didn't it, Dan?
Yeah, I guess, sure.
You're just not engaging with this witty banter.
I don't know where you're going with this.
Forgot. We don't have time for this. All right. So, next topic.
Well, so on the subject of...
Same topic.
...of magic dirt.
Continued topic.
So when Burnham sits Culber down, you know they're about to have a serious talk. She's like, have a seat. He's like, huh? Mm-hmm. And then she gives him that Mavi, that drink Mavi, and he was all thankful and was like, oh, Mavi or Movi or what is it? Mavi? Mavi.
I want to get some.
Mate?
It was like Mavi or something.
I think it's Mate.
No, it was like Mavi. It was Mavi.
Isn't it a Puerto Rican drink?
I don't know. But like he said it all surprised.
Is he
Puerto
Rican?
He said it as if like, where'd you find Mavi? But they just got it from the replicator. So why was he all like?
They got every drink in there.
Yeah. So why was he all acting like? Oh my gosh! There's Mavi.
You know? Why isn't it a fucking Ragnagino?
I always figured they don't play this up as much as they should. But they've mentioned it before. I think they, starting with Tom Paris, I think probably is the first person who really got dug into this and in Lower Decks
couldn't make carrot soup right or something.
I think
it was pizza.
I think you've got all sorts of replicator programs. And people trade them around, and there might be the standard
ones.
So
she just found she found a good one,
and she had like maybe she called up some people and got sent like a real more authentic one. I don't know. That's my headcanon for
sure. Let's do that. Okay. But then she handed him the drink real quick. Did it look a little weird when she handed him that drink?
Were you trying not to say real quick?
Yeah, I was trying not to.
All right.
But his head looked a little out of focus, almost like it was superimposed on the scene. I don't think it was, but because there would have been no reason to do that. But when Burnham was handing him the mug, his face was slightly out of focus in this weird way. I don't know. Anyways,
who?
Culber. But Culber, what this has to do with the dirt dust is that Culber was he's displaying the behaviors associated with addiction. Right now, basically, because he's looking.
I noticed that.
Yeah, he's looking to hang out in the feel good dirt to avoid his real life.
He wants to get that high back.
Right, yeah, he doesn't. And when he lingers on that, he's avoiding real life. Because
he's really hurt.
Yeah.
However, what I also enjoyed about it, because I read that as well. I read that as a sort of beginning of an addiction type situation, but they also didn't portray him as I need to go back for that. He portrayed it as it made me realize I am missing something that is creating a want, and I'm filling that hole in unhealthy ways.
Yeah, I like that. It was a more subtle reference to it. Just the fact that he was lingering and everyone else wanted to go and he didn't like
that, having that effect on him made him realize, oh shit, I'm not okay. I'm not in a good place.
I bet he's going to break up with Stamets at some point.
I don't think so. I don't think they would do that again, because
they already did that.
It'd be horrific. Oh, yeah. It'd be horrible and fucked up if they did that again.
Everybody would hate that.
They've got to have at least one romantic relationship where people where it works.
Yeah,
because you know it's all fucked up with Book and Burnham. Gray and Adira are separated because of distance. They gotta keep that going.
So when Culber says, you know, I'm not okay, and then Burnham responds with, how could you be with everything you're facing? I mean, with everything we're facing, I don't think anyone is okay. Did you get the feeling like she was diminishing his feelings a little bit by saying everyone is feeling the same? It's like she's saying, we're all dealing with shit, get over yourself. Did you get that feeling?
This is one of those. We can't linger on this too much because
we don't have time.
Because it risks getting into an argument over semantics. What I will say is I think I have interpreted this differently, is that she is not diminishing, but she was, because she's not saying your shit is exactly the same as ours.
But you got to read between the lines.
Yes, but when you're reading between the lines, you are also making shit up. And you might be you might be making up shit that is in line with the intention and shit that is out of line.
So this is more of a reflection on how I view the world than
which is not invalid.
I like how
nobody
you
said that.
I like how you said no one said that, but it's not invalid if it is.
So it's very difficult to convey in an audio format that I am suggesting that my viewpoint is equally likely to be invalid as your view.
It's very politic of you.
Right. My guess, because this is not dealing with a human person, this is dealing with a story. My guess from the context clues and the story thus far is that the intention is wholly sincere and not meant to diminish, but to...
I might take offense to it if I were him.
which would be your prerogative.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't meant that way, but that's how I probably would have interpreted it.
We're going to be doing a spinoff podcast called It's Got Dan's Prerogatives. He's going to explain all this in great detail.
Do I get to eat pierogies while I give my prerogative?
Ooh.
Pierogi prerogative?
That's a good idea.
I think that's a fucking genius idea.
Can I be in on that?
Fuck this Star Trek nonsense.
I want to eat some fucking pierogies.
Let's move the whole operation over
first
to that.
Time I
let's
had
do
pierogies.
A pierogi podcast.
First time I had pierogies, they blew my mind. I were just like...
Man.
You're gonna say like it burned your inside.
It burned my inside. I ate them so fast. I melted. Because they're not like out of this world. They're just so,
and not
so
like anything
good.
You've ever had
it's a
before.
Simple, like brilliance.
Yeah, exactly.
Dumplings. You find them all over the world.
Yeah.
It's a
wacky form.
Could you imagine being
bow and arrows? Dumplings.
Could you
invented every fucking place on the planet?
Bow and arrows?
Yeah, bow and arrows were independently invented multiple places on the planet, as were dumplings.
Oh, I thought you meant bow and arrows were invented independently of dumplings, and I was like, that doesn't really...
That is probably a fair and accurate fact as well.
If you have, don't you
both
think...
Both things can be true.
Do you think that...
Audience, you've gotten two facts for the price of one. Because we don't have a lot of time.
No time. Do you think like wearing those... I was getting stressed out for them when they were wearing those suits because when they started like crying and freaking out, like you can't wipe your eyes with those suits on.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to get itchy.
What happens if you throw up in the suit? What the worst of all is if you had an itch on your face? How are you supposed to deal with that?
Or just runny nose.
Yeah.
It's going to run down into your mouth.
What if you pooped your suit? You pooped your suit. It would. The thing
I'm sure they probably have good filtering systems.
No, Saru is a pooper.
If you pooped...
That guy's pooping his suit.
If you pooped a suit, it would like go up into your...
It's
into
coming
your,
right out of his chitin.
It would go... The poop would like go up into your helmet and it would like float around in front of your face if you pooped in
went
your suit.
Went over your helmet.
Comically. It would do so comically.
Went over your helmet, yeah. Okay. But that
fill
was,
up like
that
a fishbowl.
That was stressing me out, you know? So are we to believe that Detmer was... And her dad kind of...
Okay.
We to
Detmer,
believe
what the
this...
fuck are you talking about?
Is she just making it up for like...
Well,
just
like,
for,
I was thinking...
To get friends.
I was thinking that because they're just making it up to get friends. What the fuck? Are you saying that her problems aren't real?
As far as I'm concerned,
no, that's what you're saying.
Both of you are crazy.
I didn't say she was making it up.
No. You're like, what are we to believe this?
No, he's saying he thinks that his father molested her.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Oh. I don't know where you're getting that from. And
is
I
that
apologize.
What you're saying?
No, her father appeared to have some mental issues. Her mother died. And as a result, her father was not a true father to her. She had to probably act as a caretaker from a young age, so she never got
that
to have
that. That was the impression
feeling.
Let me just give the lines, not too many lines, but it says, my dad, he wasn't well. There was a disconnect between him and reality.
Okay. Yeah.
After my mom died, it was just the two of us.
Yes.
So then Burnham goes, oh, Detmer, like, as in like, oh,
yeah.
No.
Oh,
you
yeah,
dealt
it sucks.
With the
you're
world.
Like an 8-year-old girl and you have to take care of your dad.
I read into something a little bit. Different with that.
Okay, now, okay, never, okay, no, we don't have time to argue this.
I have to say that I disagree.
You disagree. Okay, Jesse disagrees, Patrick disagrees.
We stated our positions. We'll
but
see
I was
happens.
Just thinking that because she was crying in her suit and, you know.
Okay, but I do think that was a really powerful moment. I even called it. I love when there's a moment that you can actually predict, you see it coming,
called
and
it
still
called
hits
it.
You. As soon as they moved, they showed, when they all turned on on the infant dust or whatever.
Infant dust.
ground.
They were all high
dust.
On comfort.
They when they all like stopped filtering that in their suits and they showed Detmer crying. I knew it. I knew she was going to say, "I'd never felt this before."
This is a Detmer. This was like we're getting to know Detmer.
A lot of character development for Detmer,
which is good. It's cool. I found it fascinating that there were 16 hydrocarbons that all were equivalent to different emotional states.
Hold that thought. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, Dan will list all 16 hydrocarbons.
Wait, God damn it.
We'll be right back.
Fuck you.
All right, we're back for the last segment of the show.
Well,
zip, zap, zip, zap, zip, cruising along.
According to Frontier 6.
Making good time because we don't have time.
Because according to frontiersin.org, there are four kinds of basic emotions, according to whatever these people have to say for some reason. They say there's happiness, sadness, fear, and anger.
What about umami?
Yeah, isn't there like an umami emotion?
Yeah, it's umami. You know where it's your all mommy? It's a little tingly and it makes you feel a little dirty. Just a little dirty. You like it, but it makes you feel a little dirty.
So that accounts for four of the 16 hydrocarbons. What are the other? And you know, on top of that, they could probably mix. They probably mix and match them to create all. So there's probably a crazy amount of emotions you could make.
There's probably a musical scale of emotion. Juice, emotion dust.
Dude, I bet you could get hardcore addicted to that and like mixing things together.
Maybe
to
what they have to do,
awesome
maybe they have to
emotions.
Do like in the Goonies, they have to play a like giant bone organ, piano.
The bone piano,
but it's giant made from the bones of those creatures.
It's a bone.
And then, bone
and then, is a bone
and then,
organ?
And then when you push bone the right saw. Chords of the keys, then like the dust shoots out the organ tubes.
Yeah.
Made out of bone. Do you think that's what it's gonna be?
Has this ever happened to you?
That's how they control the DMA.
And caviar for your cat. All right, no one's going to get that one. But okay, so any other primary major points? We got a bunch of odds and ends in this one.
Steamed bananas.
Yes! How about this for a concluding point? Save the best Janet Reno for last. Not Janet Reno.
Oh, no. Oh, man. Why'd you do that?
Jet Reno. Save the best Jet Reno. For last.
Yeah,
I think she's named after
Janet. She appeared out of nowhere and then suddenly she's all over the place. Like she's up in your face, and I was like, yes.
Right.
This is
like
awesome.
It's always like she's been there the whole time and right. It's just like, let's see what's happening with
she orders
with
Ractogino. There's a little tidbit in there, a really great little tidbit where when she orders the Ractogino, she says, hold the nutmeg. Which implies Ractogino always has nutmeg in it, which is kind of funny.
It's funny that the Klingons are just sprinkling some nutmeg on there.
Need lots of nutmeg.
It's a warrior spice.
If you smoke it, you can get a little high, but it's not good for your brain.
She's when you have to power through, nothing beats the bitter elixir of Klingon warrior. She paused between of and Klingon for some reason, which is weird. That sound, the sound people could have done a better snapping sound. That was the worst snapping sound.
You just did some fucking snapping.
I did.
How did you do that?
Because I'm a snapper.
How are you guys doing that?
He's a snappy boy.
This can't be good for podcasts.
No. It hurts my fingers to do that.
But anyways, did you, that snap that she did?
I'm getting a pretty good
that
one.
That snap
too.
That she did, there was a dead.
Maybe it's just dry in here or something. Do I need to turn on the humidifier? See, I should have put on the list that just generic tomfoolery is also going to slow us down in this whole time.
Okay.
Business.
That's my thing, man.
So that was a dead snap, but I like how she snapped in like Adira's face, and Adira looked like they were going to take a swing at
yes.
Yeah. Yeah. He was like, they were like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah.
So,
it was cool.
That's my hit.
Yeah, Jet Reno coming back, solving a mystery.
I don't remember the thing about the wormhole, Detmer coming out of a wormhole and crashing. Was that in the
beginning
last
of season three? There was a whole.
Was it then when they met Reno?
There was a whole mini arc of Detmer being fucked up because of the whole crash landing of the Discovery.
Yeah. In she drove three. It through a wormhole.
And then into an Flew ice it. Planet. And then the ice started eating it.
Oh, fuck.
So. Anyway, yeah, Linus rules, steam bananas.
Linus,
and more character development with Linus. We're getting more of his characterization, and it's hilarious. Mm-hmm. His whole attitude, and pairing him up with Jet Reno is brilliant.
Yeah.
She's all laconic and ridiculous, and he's all like, blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah. Nothing about that sounds good.
Yeah, actually, now that you mention it, I like the evolution Linus has taken. It's almost like they didn't really have any plans for Linus at first, and then it kind of starts sneaking Linus in more and more, you know, and trying to find a home for him. And it seems like he works well with Jet Reno.
He's not just there to sneeze on people.
He's a little like a Jerry on Parks and Recreation, where he's people just kind of shit on
him. She shit on Gary. Him. She did shit on him.
Yeah. What is
Gary Grigich?
Terry,
Jerry.
But go Jet Reno. I'm always into seeing Jet Reno, and it's just funny how she's like not in any episodes, then suddenly she's in a bunch of an episode, and then. But I thought I loved her delivery at the end when she was like captured, you know, and she's just kind of like, "Yep, that's what's going on. You fucked up, didn't you? You fucked up, right?"
She's going to be really obnoxious.
Yeah.
Which will hopefully redeem that plot somewhat.
Oh, but it's cool because they set it up with her and Tark at the very beginning, you know, having she was the sensible one. And
so the whole situation where now they're going to deal with Reno makes me interested in what's going to happen with that plot.
Yeah.
Because as I said earlier, at least in my book's motivations don't seem really consistent or to make sense.
Yeah. It's like hard to buy it at this point.
Honestly, the whole plan of we're going to just stick the ship to the back of the Discovery, I don't know. I'm sorry. Silly. I find that silly.
Yeah.
It would be a silly fucking plan.
It
would be a silly plan fucking today. Forget about in the 31st century or whatever. Yeah. I don't know.
And it was also weird. Was a moment where, it got pointed again out to the audience. They addressed it, but when Tark is like, "Oh yeah, so it's like a parasite," and Book is like, "No, it's not like a parasite. They don't take anything from each other." And then Tark was like, "Okay,
semantic
doesn't make a difference." It's almost like, why did they bother to include that line just so they could call it out? I don't know. It was just like
this is what Quajon used to have. It used to have this stuff on it.
But like, why did they bother pointing out the fact that it wasn't specifically they were a parasitic or whatever, or symbiotic, or I don't know.
Partly, I didn't have a problem with that line because my vibe is what they've been
parasitic
doing over the course of the season. People keep saying it's feelings. Really, it's communication. And there have been a number of examples where they show people addressing the same thing from different perspectives and coming to different conclusions. Yeah. And so I think this was just another part of
that's
that
pretty
flavor
much, yeah,
that they've been layering in a lot.
I tend to agree, actually. I was thinking about that, and that might work for me.
It buttresses and fluffs up the flavor. It's still silly. It's like, we'll stick the ship. I know it's been done before.
That's what the Slave One did on that ship in Star Wars.
Precisely.
Boba Fett's ship.
It's not a big deal.
Then they do that in Spaceballs too.
Well, yeah, but if it's a small ship, okay. I mean, I don't want to delve into the ridiculous particulars, right? Who cares?
For some reason,
they jammed.
For some reason, Zora's AI allows her to find them better. Which
and
is
that big
like,
jar of jam.
That I think that's part of what aggravated
me. Now that she
me.
Has emotions, she can find this better. You
I
know?
Think the part of what aggravated me was it's like they have to overcome the super sentient computer.
Yeah.
And Book's ship is a big ship, and I know he has a cloaking device, but you know, come on, whatever. It's not a big deal. I don't want to make a big deal.
We don't have time.
Already,
the Kowalian night spray nested on the back of a Jatch spat.
Is that like a koala? Is that like a koala?
A koala.
Is that a reference to Lower Decks when the universe is run by the koala?
A koala.
It might be.
All right.
When the universe is run by a koala?
Yeah, you know, in Lower Decks when that guy ascends to see the universe and then it's like the koala. And
why is he smiling?
You said the koala.
Koala.
Koala, like the bear?
Yeah, but it's not
a raccoon.
Do you say penguin
or
penguin?
It's like a kangaroo raccoon.
No, it's just a marsupial.
You say penguin?
It's a kangaroo penguin. Kangaroo raccoon.
Do you say kangaroo?
Do you say pancakes or pancakes?
Pancakes. Do you say charis?
Charis. Nobody said. It's only a couple of people say
all
that.
All right. More odds and ends.
We're on odds and ends now.
Sure, why not? Dr. Kovich knows a lot about games from ancient Earth.
Yeah, they're not Altonian.
Isn't there a theory about Kovich might be...
He wears glasses.
And he has glasses.
He wears glasses.
And that I just thought about that the other day.
Watching
and
Gilligan's Island.
It never, it, never occurred to me. It was like, wait, he's got glasses.
The whole internet now thinks that since he said, remember last week we were talking about how everyone was freaking out over that three-hour tour line, reference to Gilligan's Island. In the course of the past week, the main discussion, maybe not the main discussion, but it's a discussion that's been pretty prominent. Yeah. Is everyone's like, what he means by that is it's saying that Discovery is going to get lost outside the galaxy.
That's bullshit.
And they're going to be like, it'll be like Gilligan's Island. Mm. Okay. Could they be? Sure. Probably could do all sorts of interesting things like that. I kind of don't buy into that because why not just, there's still a lot to explore in the existing century. Why start jumping around to other places?
There's more stuff inside the galaxy than outside.
I'm open to whatever. So it could be, but I'm not sure I buy that. Well, I might be wrong. We'll see.
So, yeah, that reminds me of the Dr. Harai, you know, how in last episode.
Dr. Spato.
So, at the very end, after he gets the talking to by Rillick, they talk about the language being brought home, and he's like, well, that's all well and good, but you need, in Rosetta Stone, you need two languages that unlock.
Two other languages.
Unlock the third. And that's when Rillick looked at him like, I told you to be more positive. But that was actually a constructive thing for him to say, like, to point that out.
It was more the attitude.
But I mean,
it was a negative attitude.
I have no problem with his attitude.
Well, in the beginning of the
episode. It's a fine attitude to have.
In the beginning of the episode, when he was straight up like, don't fuck it up, that was a dickish thing to say. Like, that had no, there was not constructive. And the week before, he said something semi-constructive, but he said it in a dickish way. I thought of all the times that the one where he apologized for, he actually said it the most eloquently. Yeah. Matt, maybe eloquent's not the right word, but you know what I mean. The word that
we didn't really apologize for.
He just
covered it up by extra positivity. I have no problem with him being encouraged to be a little bit more positive, whatever.
Who's his president? Where did she come from?
So
all of a sudden there's his president. Did you vote for her? I didn't vote for her.
When Tarka and Book, when they do the transport thing over to the Jeffries tubes, and then Book was being unnecessarily cryptic about the whole thing because Tarka goes, he's like, why are you kneeling? Is this some Quajon thing or something? He's like, no, I want to keep my torso. And it's like, what? And then so he goes down and then they warp and Tarka points out that what we're all thinking is just like, you could have been a little more clear about what we were jumping into.
We're beaming into
and
a
Book's
small
like,
space.
Seriously?
Yeah. Yeah, like and that was definitely referencing, you know, it's like that's another point where they did what we were thinking. They said the thing that we were thinking.
On the second watch through, I noticed how they really did telegraph when Saru walks through the emotion test at the beginning, after they land on the planet. They zoom in on his hooved shoes, stomping around in that bright purple dust. Totally didn't catch it the first time.
There's a little bit of like, whoa.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And then almost immediately afterwards is when he has his first emotional freak out.
He saw some kind of flying centipede or something. Right? Isn't that what
there was some kind of monster?
Was that different than the Bonasaurs, or was that the same
Lovecraftian?
Who knows?
Was it you think it was the same as the Bonasaurs, or do you think it was?
I initially thought so. Now that you're asking, who knows? Maybe not. I took it as the Bonasaurs.
Is anything the same as the Bonasaurs
being suffering because their atmosphere is being ripped away?
A giant flying sandipede is like going around.
Yeah,
Sandopolis.
And so this the hyperfield was constructed 1,000 years ago. They lived in gas layers, like floaty weird things or something. That's what they also weren't clear on. It's like they said they lived in the gas layers, but we didn't see any evidence of those creatures being
the
gas
layers.
Being gas.
I'm a member of the gas layers.
Like the Bonasaurs, they didn't look like they lived in gas layers. And the centipedes, they didn't look like. When you think of something that lives in gas layers, you would think of something that resembles
with balloons
it. Something resembling a sea creature or something like that.
Or
you
jellyfish.
Know? Right.
Yeah, but we just saw we just saw the bones.
Please.
We just saw the bones. We don't know what they look like.
But they were probably cartilage.
They they were soft and cartilage-like, so maybe it was a big parachute wing thing.
And in the hallucinations, hallucinations were all freak out, blurry. We couldn't really make out what was going
maybe
on.
Maybe you couldn't.
Maybe they only looked like that because they were losing atmosphere. I don't know. Why are you putting it on me to defend this? I don't know.
I need an act which a person is bound to complete. That sounded like a line that Data would say, but he was actually referring to the crossword puzzle.
Yeah.
But it sounded like, if you say it all seriously, it's like, you know, Patrick, I really need an act which a person is bound to complete. What if I said that to you? Jesse, what would you do?
I'd kick you in the balls. No, I'm just kidding.
No, that's cool. I probably would deserve it.
I'd pat you on the back.
I like the scene because I was thinking about it. He was all like, you know, blah blah blah. It's like 10 letters. Got the G in the middle. I think that was the point when Rilik was like, oh shit, I know what that is.
Yeah,
I can craft.
I'm the president.
She schooled him.
I can craft a clever retort totally around that, and like fill that in and tippity tappity tap, and it'll be all dramatic, and he'll be like, whoa,
president, dude. Lecture you on stuff.
Trichome.
Okay. Any other odds and ends popping up at you?
I don't think there's anything inherently bad about steamed bananas.
Well, it was in plantains are cooked. Bananas, basically, right?
Yeah. You can cook a banana.
I put a banana in the oven once.
Make a nice sauce.
It wasn't good. Because the banana I had
Don't put it in your oven.
But banana I had was really green, and I really wanted a banana. And so I read online that if you put it in the oven for a little while, you can ripen it up. Did not work.
No, you have to put it in the oven for like a day or something.
By the time it would just ripen on its own.
Did you read that on the same website that says if you need to charge your phone real fast, just put it in the microwave?
Oh, man, that's silly. Who says that?
People on the internet. The internet is not a nice place. There's a lot of shady shit on the internet.
You wouldn't believe.
They will fuck you up if you talk to the wrong people on the internet. If you look at the wrong websites, tell you all sorts of crazy stuff. Stick to Zombo.com.
I like...
Zombo.com.
Okay, I'll start with this one, actually. The only had one problem with the generic line in that they did the line, like along the similar lines of how sometimes when they say, that's an order, this is not the same thing, but it's kind of a lateral approach to that same idea when Book approaches Ndoye and she goes up and she's like, give me one reason why I shouldn't call security right now. It's like, does anyone really say stuff like that? Give me one reason why I shouldn't do this to you right now. Yeah. Nobody ever says that.
No, it's television.
And so it doesn't mean it's not a direct criticism of the show because it's used so often through all sorts of shows and movies that I like. And it's just like, I don't know why they continue to use that.
Here's a question. If you were trying to get the same point across, how would you feel about the variation, which is not itself uncommon, the variation where she says, she's like, taps her comm badge, she's like, security, or something, and then he's like, no, wait, I can help you, or something, and then she's like, I'm listening.
Yeah.
Would that be worse, or... Because it's different, it's getting to the same point, except...
We're
but
not so different.
So there's two problems with one you said. Of course, it's going the I'm listening line, but also the fact that she contacts security first, and there's like, never about mind. To,
but it's Star Trek, so, you know, they often have that, where they tap, you know, the comm badge, and then
they're probably constantly recording everything everyone says.
Belay that order. Yeah, but if they're recording everything everyone says, it compromises the plots of a tremendous percentage of the show.
Yeah.
Of the entire franchise.
Apparently it compromised the plots of some TNG episodes where people just wandered up on the bridge without any...
people from the 1980s.
Yeah, for real. People... You don't want 1980s people wandering on a fucking bridge. I thought that...
You don't want them wandering anywhere.
That keyboard, that space keyboard that Book had, it was an awesome one-handed keyboard. But all you know, when he was typing in the secret message to attract Ndoye saying it was from Trina, and he had that one-handed space hollow keyboard, if you look at it, there was none of the keys had like letters that we recognized on it. But what appeared on the screen were letters that we recognized. Did you notice that?
Mm-hmm. But can't you have the keyboard and the chat program set to different settings?
Like, the message was...
Maybe it was some sort of a
what's your message?
Code, shorthand.
So the message said
shorthand keyboard.
The message said, "It's President Torino. We need to speak further. Deck 13, come alone." That's what Book wrote, and he was good at that typing at that space keyboard. And space. I was thinking maybe it's some kind of one
keyboards from space.
Maybe it's some kind of one-handed shorthanded keyboard or something. I don't know. It's just all the letters looked like space words, and like, but then on the board it appeared in. You know,
one-handed, short-handed keyboard.
One-eyed, one-horn, flying purple people.
Janet Reno liked her Rectagino.
Jet
Reno. God, that's your fault now.
No, it's your fault. You're stupid. You're stupid. You're stupid. We're both so stupid. Jesse hasn't made that mistake yet. It's only you and I who have made that mistake.
What?
The Janet Reno mistake. What's who's the commander who's an engineer in engineering?
Jet Reno.
Yeah, see, he didn't make the mistake.
You well, it's because we pointed it out.
Hmm. Okay. Anything else? Any other odds and ends? Is this it? Is this the end of this episode?
Tarka was real sure that the DMA could be powered from that other place.
Probably. It's a good deduction. Makes sense.
But yeah, that's what he thought last time.
And also, doesn't mean he can take control of it, necessarily. Bomb thing worked last time, but it didn't actually work on destroying, on shutting down the power source. It just shut down the controller.
He was wrong, but last time he thought the power source, it was in a different place than he thought it was, and he's making...
Could be a different place again.
Book goes, any chance the DMA could be powered from somewhere else? And Tarka just goes, nope.
Well, let's wrap it up there, then.
Wrap it up.
It has been Star Trek.
That was really stressful.
You're very stressful.
I'm sorry. Was I stressing you out?
No. I'm joking. Okay, good.
Stressing you out.
We avoided semantic arguments, scripted comedy, and for the most part avoided the witty banter.
For the most part.
Crunching on peanuts.
Excised all that shit out of the old episode. So that was Star Trek Discovery Season 4, Episode 11. Rosetta.
Bye.
Next episode, listen to our thoughts on Star Trek Picard Season 2, Episode 1. The premiere of Season 2, Star Trek Picard. But we're about to do that episode right fucking now. So like we're going to go right into that episode.
Wait, we're releasing that next week?
No, that's what I'm saying. It's not next week. It's this week. You get two episodes.
It's two.
But it's going to be for the next 3 weeks. It's going
to
be like
But
that.
It's the next episode. So
get ready to podcast.
This is episode 118, episode 119, which we're about to do. Is going to be about Picard. But then next week, you'll hear more Discovery and also
It's
more
the hardest working podcast in Star Trek
It's
history.
Crazy. All right. So, Twitter at It's Got Star Trek, Instagram at It's Got Star Trek, Facebook, It's Got Star Trek, YouTube, It's Got Star Trek.
You know it already.
Email feedback at itsgotstartrek.com, website, It's Got Star Trek. Boom, 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 boom.
Man, I was trying
Rate and
so
review. Apples and podcasts. Don't say Russian.
Pears.
Don't say Russian.
Oh, fuck.
Don't say Russian right now.
Did you get your crane? Did you get your crane when you were trying to pick the thing up?
Yeah.
Don't forget your crane when you try to pick something up.
We
that's
do not
big
have time for scripted comedy. We said we're not.
We
doing
don't
the
have time.
Time is the fire in which we burn. Next week, more of this. Next episode, more of this. Next week, more of this. Jesus fucking Christ! All right, too much Star Trek. Too
I
much
think I was stressed
Star
out because I was just going like, oh, say this and say this and say this and this. We have a little more time. We gotta say this and this. I just should say less stuff. That's what I should just do is say less stuff. But I tried to say the same amount of stuff.
Next time, Dan's gonna be drinking a seltzer. Without any caffeine or
okay,
any of that other stuff.
That's good enough for us this week. We'll talk to you next week and next episode. And goodbye.
Oh, by the way, I did fly good today. So thank you for that.
Yes, we maybe just don't even ever have to mention that like ever again.
Or we could mention it every day for the rest of your life.
Okay.